on FM, online and on digital radio. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph. Coming up shortly, tonight's concert performance feature is the organ-led James Taylor Quartet, recorded on Jazz Lineup stage at the 2015 Glasgow Jazz Festival. James Taylor emerged in the late 80s and was part of the acid jazz revolution along with saxophonist Courtney Pine and Steve Williamson. He was championed by legendary DJ John Peel with his reworking of Herbie Hancock's theme from the movie Blow Up, which led to the band covering familiar movie themes through which the quartet's reputation and popularity grew with their distinct danceable and funky Hammond organ-edged music. Decades later, and they're still as engaging and appreciated as ever. Before we hear tonight's performance, Jazz Lineup's Kevin Legendre caught up with band leader James Taylor backstage at the festival.
James, here we are at the Glasgow Jazz Festival. You played a really, really fantastic set. You got everybody up and dancing at the end, even though we're in a basement club. And the music, as you play it, 30 years on in your career, you still give it all of this energy and you make it into a party.
That's right. I think that's quite important. I worry about if fun has been lost a little bit in modern music. And I think jazz music, in its essence, was about having a really good time. The musicians, you know, Miles Davis and those guys, they were having huge fun. And when I saw Miles Davis play back in the early 80s, it was a total rip-it-up gig. I thought, well, this guy's not trying to be cool or anything. He's ripping this place up. And I just thought, that's how you do a gig. And I've always hung on to those kind of things. Also, I believe deeply that if anything's going to happen on stage, it's because of the connection with the audience, and that the audience are at least 50% of what occurs. If something really exciting happens, it's about them as much as anything, if not more than the band. So that relationship is kind of what we try to instigate and exploit, as it were.
Well, talking of relationships, Glasgow is a place that has a very special connection for you, I suppose, because you played here many times before. And you feel very comfortable in this city.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, it, just this one town and like having the day off here today and walking around and thinking, my blimey, I've played there, Barrowlands, so many places, the Jazz Festival so many times, for 30 years. I remember my first gig in Glasgow at a place called Rooftops, which was kind of above a Chinese restaurant in front of 15 people, you know. I do feel deeply connected to the place because I love it so much. The people here are absolutely amazing. They make a great audience and they love live music. They're one of the most vibey audiences in the world, actually, Glasgow. So it's always a huge joy. But to see it on a day like this, a glorious sunny day, wow, don't often see that.
Well, we certainly enjoyed it, that's for sure. Now, you play the Hammond organ, obviously, which is one of the great instruments, not just in jazz, but in soul music as well. And you finish the set with a great version of Booker T's Time is Tight. So the soul music organists, the people like Booker T as well as Billy Preston, I take it they're as important to you as the jazz guys like the Jimmy Smiths and the Jimmy McGriffs.
They are, but I'd broaden it out even further than that. I mean, the first time I heard Time is Tight was at a sound check of The Clash. They were playing it in their sound check. They didn't gig it. And I thought, blimey. And I checked it out and I found out about the Hammond and I pursued that instrument coming from the kind of punk ethic as much as anything, because I feel like my music is very simple and it's very DIY. But yeah, Booker T was a huge hero for me, but I discovered him via The Clash. The punk aesthetic and that kind of excitement, that's a real sort of kind of source of honesty and energy, that whole movement, and that's kind of where we come from originally, you know. And I think that connecting that up to all the jazzy side of things is pretty big. What we do is kind of punk jazz.
Tell me about the Hammond organ setup. I mean, it's an incredible instrument. You've got two keyboards, you've got all these little knobs which are called drawbars, which enable you to change the sound, and you also have the Leslie speakers as well that you use.
It's a church instrument. It's about church. It's a pipe organ. It's trying to be a pipe organ, it was used in Baptist churches and Pentecostal churches, and then the guy that was doing the service would hang back on a Sunday morning at the end of service and kind of mess around with the instrument and get it grooving in his own time, you know, and that's how that kind of funky stuff developed. Jimmy McGriff, people like that, took it out of the church. Funnily enough, my musical development at the moment is going back into church. I've just connected the Hammond to a choir and written a mass, which is a funk mass, using the Latin text of the Catholic mass. And and a 50-piece choir from Rochester Cathedral. So we've been performing this mass in cathedrals and at venues up and down the UK, kind of really trying to broaden things even more. I think the more I kind of review my career, the more I realise that it's about trying to connect up, join the dots, this piece of music with this kind of movement in music, these kind of different... When we were kids, it was all about tribal forces, wasn't it? There was this tribe and this tribe, these guys are into this, kind of broadening it out and joining it up. So these days, I make music with a cathedral choir, as, amongst other things, to get a beautiful angelic sound floating over a very kind of funky, dirty Hammond funk kind of lineup. It's a lovely juxtaposition. It's very exciting.
So a lot of people might not know this, but you're a very accomplished pianist as well as a Hammond organ player. How does one instrument maybe influence the other?
Wow, that's a very good question. They're very different headspaces. I spend my days at home playing Beethoven, Debussy and things like this. I suppose you'd say that Debussy massively influenced the jazz scene in terms of harmonization. But what I find is that Beethoven was basically a bit of a rock and roller. And you know, he really knew how to get it going, hammering along and very, very exciting and fast. And driving back from Glasgow Jazz Festival last time, 3 years ago, and we're listening to Pathétique, Beethoven's Pathétique on the radio, on Radio 3, and going, hear that riff he's doing there. We were doing that last night. We were locked into exactly that same thing. And so I think Beethoven influences what we do in terms of the sheer dynamism, the speed, and the kind of full-onness of it, the rock and roll of it. I think he was that kind of guy. And then something like Debussy is about the kind of beautiful colours that you can evoke on the more introspective moments. At the age of 51 now, I review my career quite a lot, and I think, wow, how lucky to... You know, I played here, I did this, I kind of observe it from afar, if you like. And to spend your life making music and kind of being a part, getting connected to audiences around the world, it's a deeply, deeply humbling thing. And very, very, very beautiful, you know.
Long may it continue. James, thank you very much.
Thank you.
James Taylor sharing insights on his music. And our thanks to Kevin Legendre for that interview. Tonight's set was recorded on June 27th on the Jazz Lineup stage at the 2015 Glasgow Jazz Festival, deep in the basement of a pop-up club in the heart of the city. The lineup features Andrew McKinney on the bass, Mark Cox on guitar, Pat Illingworth on drums, and James Taylor on Hammond and vocals. The quartet start with a composition penned by leader James Taylor, and this is Gloria Part 1. Thank you.
James Taylor Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. We've got one more for you. So we need some participation. Radio 3, get out of your seat.